Let's bring Joe in. And Joe, we talked about this with Jimmy Himes more so than any time I can remember. And I've been down here now for almost 22 years.
Yep.
It is insane what's going on right now just within the SEC. I mean, we've had years where college football coaches, even college basketball coaches, to a degree have jumped around. But within a conference, the possibilities, and the Tuberville thing is very real.
Yep.
The Spurrier thing doesn't seem as likely, but we've already got Houston not making a move. And you know what's transpired over the last even 10 years going back to Tuberville's move. It's nuts.
Well, you know, it used to be, and I'll do this quickly because I've got to drive to Lexington and get my car washed. But,
very good.
But you know, it wasn't so long ago that there was sort of an unwritten rule that you didn't transfer to another school in your conference. You didn't take another job at another school in your conference. It just wasn't done. And I go back to, you remember when Eddie left Vanderbilt and went to South Carolina, and there were people, you can't do that. You know, things have really, really changed. And what's fascinating is almost like the whole Western Division is up in the air now. You know, the most solid there is Sylvester Croom all of a sudden.
A model of stability.
Yeah, so it is going to be crazy over this next week. And I believe, like you do, Mark, I think the talk about Tuberville is very real. And it's fascinating to be in a situation he's in. You know, as you said, win six straight against Alabama, there shouldn't be a whole lot of discussion, and apparently it's very serious.
Yeah, you would think by the time he got to the tunnel, there would be somebody holding out a piece of paper for him to sign with a new contract after beating Alabama
six
straight times.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, and I don't know the numbers, and I don't guess any of us really do, but it would be very easy for a coach to say, okay, that guy over there, my rival's making $4 million a year, and I'm, you know, I've beaten them six straight, including this year. If we're going to talk money, we need to be talking that kind of money. And so we'll see, you know, how that plays out. But I think it's going to be one of those things that one or two things are going to happen really quick. I think a couple of these. I'm really focused on watching LSU, too, because I think that all could take changes very quickly.
All right, let's talk about the basketball game last night over at Memorial Gym. South Alabama was in town, and, boy, they gave the Commodores all they wanted.
Yep.
Really outplayed them for part of the game. Vanderbilt, they went to double overtime, and the Commodores finally pull it out 91-88. Shane Foster had a big night with 26 points. But, man, you got to give the Jaguars a lot of credit. They really hung in there, made some big shots, got a big put back when they needed it down at the end of one of the overtimes.
Well, and I give them a lot of credit. They have a style of play that gives Vanderbilt trouble, those fast, penetrating point guards, and Merritt was just all over the court last night for them, and that certainly caused some problems. Vanderbilt did not play well. Kevin Stallings was very, you know, straightforward about it afterwards, saying he had just not been able to do a good job of getting that team back on the edge, as he called it, where they needed to be. He had told me that the practice the day before had been really bad, and he was concerned about that, and it carried over into the game. But they made big shots when they had to. Shane, 5 3-pointers in the second half when they really needed a lift. A.J. Ogilvie showed a lot of maturity, I thought. He picked up 2 fouls in the first 40 seconds of the game and didn't pick up another foul the rest of the night, and played very aggressively through all of that. So that showed a lot of character and maturity to be able to do that. Disappointed, I think Kevin was disappointed in a couple of things. Vanderbilt's a team that's known very well for executing, you know, plays late in the game, for doing things in situations, and they weren't very good in those situations last night. You know, they had a chance to win the game in regulation and had a play that was open but didn't connect on it, and then had a chance to win at the end of the first overtime but just didn't run the last 10 seconds of offense very well, didn't really even get a decent look at a shot. So those are all things that will be discussed. But they don't have much time to talk about that stuff right now because we play again at noon tomorrow against a very good Georgia Tech team.
One thing they did do well is shoot free throws. And in the stretch of the second overtime, they made those last four to win, a couple by Beal and a couple by Gordon.
And one of the really big plays, if you remember back when Gordon went to the line, his first free throw was missed. But the officials discussed, and because there were complaints from the Vanderbilt coaching staff and everybody in the stands, that Demetric Bennett had distracted Gordon on the foul line. He was standing right next to him at the foul line, and he leaned his arms over in front of Gordon just as Red was getting ready to shoot, and then just sort of fell into the lane in front of him. It was a really unusual thing to see, and the officials got together, discussed it, and said, yes, it was a violation, and gave Red another shot. and he ended up making both the free throws. So, you know, they were only 2 for 3 from the line in the first half, and they finished 18 for 22. So that's been a marked improvement from the start of the year. And when you've got players that can drive to the basket and you've got a big inside post player that can get to the line, you should get more free throws.
11 a.m. pregame and noon tip-off tomorrow?
That is correct.
Joe, thanks a lot.
See you guys.